Welcome to Sunday with True Parents and the Divine Principle. I'm Dr. Michael Hendricks, Sr. Here we celebrate the loving God we've come to know, the true Father and true Mother we devoted our life to, and the revolutionary Divine Principle. God is unchanging, and His truth is unchanging, while our understanding continues to grow and deepen. My topic for today is, Who is Father, really? I'm so glad you're listening to this podcast. I hope it'll be a source of inspiration and nourishment for your soul, today and for many weeks to come. And since you've tuned in today, you probably studied the Divine Principle long ago and got the conclusion that the Messiah is here again. When we studied Father's life, we made the connection and realized that Father is indeed the one mankind has long been waiting for. He came as the return of the Christ and the third Adam. We got it. One tragic outcome that I feel now, many years later, is that a lot of us learned the principle deeply enough to realize who Father and Mother are, but not deeply enough to apply the principle in daily life and create the joy it's supposed to bring. Well, that's a very important subject for another day. Through the principle, we could trace restoration history from the beginning until today. It gave us clear and compelling evidence that Father's the victorious Adam who finally found his Eve, and together they became the true parents of all mankind. Now, the exposition book doesn't quite go that far, but you know what I mean. Tragically, many people see the divine principle as simply that, a logical proof that Father's the new Adam, and therefore Mother's his new Eve. But I've always believed it was telling us far more than that. But again, that's a very important discussion for another day. What I want to talk to you about today is just who Father is, but without using the divine principle. Observing Father up close and personal for 37 years of his life, I perceive something fundamental and profound about Father that I feel defines him at least as well as talking about the history of restoration and all the rest. To boil it all down as simply as possible, I perceived him to be a person who uncompromisingly loved Cain. And if we explore that topic deeply, we'll see it covers everything else that needs to be said. So who is Cain? We know. He's me. He's you. He's everyone, at one time or another. I believe the reason God persevered, trying to save us for millions of earth years and countless generations, is because he can't stop loving Cain. Cain was the wayward child, the one God hoped Abel would embrace. Cain's the one a little further from God. Cain has some baggage and a thick veil over his heart and mind. He can't see God. He can't hear God. Sometimes he can't believe in God. So God can't reach him. He can only try to save himself or turn to his brother Abel for God's help. God desperately loves Cain, and he'll never give up trying to bring him home. Jesus, the second Adam, tried to show us this heart of God. He gave us the famous parables of the prodigal son and also the lost sheep and others. It's the reason Jesus gave his life on the cross. He tried to convey to humanity that God loves Cain, almost to a fault. God sacrifices Abel to save Cain. His goal is to love Cain so much that he becomes Abel. So eventually, there'll be no more Cains left. Enter Father. Human history was all about loving and restoring Cain. It was all about restoration. Today, there's talk that restoration's not important anymore. It's from an era gone past. Well, look around. Look at the world. Are we done restoring Cain? Is restoration over? We've hardly begun. There are 8 billion Cains in the world, including me. If there's one thing I can say about Father, he was the king of loving and resurrecting Cain. When I think about his life, when I recall my many memorable experiences with him, the all-inclusive characteristic for me is that he loved Cain. He didn't love Cain a little, or even a lot. He loved Cain beyond human reason, the same as Jesus. Any leader who spent time with Father will tell you, he always put us ahead of even his own wife and children. We would sometimes criticize the pain and even damage it may have caused his family, but he was compelled to express the heart of God by loving Cain. He knew he had to show us the living example. This love was consistent and never-ending. We recall how Father cared for the homeless and gave them haircuts during his younger years. Later, he won the respect of his fellow prisoners and even the guards in Hung Nam Prison. Then he was finally liberated by the American bombers. Unlike the others who ran to the south, Father went back to Pyongyang and searched for his canes, his disciples that he didn't want to leave behind. Likewise, he won over the hearts of some crusty prisoners in Danbury Prison many years later. All this is not to mention how he alone, with Mother at his side, climbed the 8 stages of loving Cain, even embracing Mikhail Gorbachev and Kim Il-sung, his ultimate human canes. It's just who he is. It's just who he was. He would even side with Cain against his own son or daughter when a conflict arose. If someone came to Father and complained about one of his children, even if Father knew the complaint was a lie, he would accept the accusation at face value and scold his son or daughter right there in front of them. He felt he just had to love Cain, no matter what. Then later, after the accusing member had left, Father would question his son or daughter about it and embrace them, and in that way, teach them God's heart towards Cain. Father was also a practical man. He knew that loving all the Cains in the world was not something he, or even our whole movement, could do. That's one reason he desperately tried to unite Christianity. He needed to create an army of loving people equipped to love the other, more Cain elements of the religious world into surrender. Not only that, he needed an even bigger love army to bring the Cain humanistic and atheistic world to surrender. If you've ever sincerely invested in one Cain person and tried to love them to surrender, you can begin to imagine what a superhuman feat we're talking about here. Who but the Messiah could even dream this big? It's hard for me to even comprehend. That's why Father matched us the way he did. His sole motivation was to put us in the position to love Cain. Cain might be our spouse, our in-laws, our ancestors, etc. Not only that, but Father taught us to love our own Cain ancestors. There's no end to it all. Father even loved Cain nations, like Japan and America. Recall how he tried to help his Japanese torturers to return to Japan after the war ended, when other Koreans wanted to kill them. That's who Father is. He wanted to bring every Cain to surrender with God's love. He longed for the day when everyone would just be brothers and sisters in love. He knew what it would take to get there. It was all about loving Cain. So if we take Father's point of view, who really is Cain? Actually, I don't think Father thought of anyone as Cain. Like God, he looked at everyone as his own son and daughter. That's what made him unique and so special. In one way, that's what made him the Messiah for us all. That's what made true parents and Jesus like God in the flesh. What does it all mean? It means God and true parents look at you and me the same way. They will never leave us or give up on us. They desperately want to save us, their children. It brings me to tears. It should. I hope one day it'll bring everyone to tears. Adieu. As we close, please consider this statement of faith, and if it fits you, let's offer it up together. We believe in one God, the cosmic heavenly parent, the creation of limitless true love and happiness, both for God and for ourselves, is the very reason He created us and the purpose of our lives. We believe the first progenitors of humanity, called in the Bible Adam and Eve, fell through the misuse of love, resulting in a tragic and painful human history. Jesus was born sinless to be the second Adam, and to initiate God's kingdom through a new lineage. But people's faithlessness and opposition prevented him from finding and raising his new Eve. We believe that Sun Myung Moon was likewise born sinless to be the third Adam, and was called by Jesus to complete his unfinished mission in our era today. After discovering and systematizing the divine principle and successfully setting all the necessary conditions of historical indemnity, he and his new Eve, Ak Shahan, were blessed in marriage and became the true parents. They will stand together for eternity as the new Adam and Eve, the new progenitors of humanity, who gave the world thousands of blessed couples who bore many children free of original sin. We believe that living a principled life, sincerely living for the sake of others, and fulfilling the three blessings are the ultimate goals for each person as they prepare for their eternal life. It's therefore important to study all the words and teachings of Father and Mother Moon and practice them in our daily lives. Adieu. I want to extend an invitation to any of you who might have a suitable recorded message that you'd like to offer to this podcast. Please submit it and we'll consider posting it for our listeners. Send it to mikhenterik@gmail.com. If you're hungry for deeper divine principle study, may I suggest deeperdp.com. It has a wealth of beyond the book DP lectures and resources in English, Spanish, and French. I hope you'll join us again next week for Sunday with True Parents and the Divine Principle. See you then.